broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside Stephen Julian, as usual. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Weather outside is, you know, a little frightful as we get ready for the holidays.
Actually, it's beautiful and warm.
It's not beautiful. It's warm.
It's warm,
not
and rainy. Yeah, it's not beautiful. I'm sorry. Warm just equals beautiful to me because
this time of the year, you're right.
Well, we were saying off air that back up where I used to live in Montana, it's minus 17. So
nice.
I'm glad I'm not there shoveling snow.
Absolutely. We've got two wonderful guests in the studio today joining us from Caliber Home Loans. It's Angeline Kelly. Or Angeline Kelly.
Right.
And from, I've already messed up already, 10 seconds into the show. And from the network, Jimmy Lynn is joining us. We're going to start with Angeline. And Angeline, tell us all about Caliber Home Loans, all about your company.
Well, Caliber Home Loans is a full-service national mortgage lender, and we are an agency direct seller servicer, which means from start to finish, you're dealing with Caliber Home Loans. We are not underwriting your file and selling it to another company to service it after the fact. So from start to finish, we service our customers, and we love our customers, and we want to make sure that we take care of them all the way through the next 30 years of their mortgage, hopefully. We do most of the programs that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae offer. We have the innovative servicing solutions for both conforming and non-conforming loans. Conforming being the loan amount limit underneath $417,000, jumbo and non-conforming loans being over that. We do loans up to $3 million. So hopefully we can service pretty much every single person out there that can qualify for a loan. All the regulatory changes that have occurred in recent years, technology has never been more important. And in response to this, Caliber has made a substantial investment in building our own proprietary end-to-end loan origination system. We are eco-friendly, paperless from start to finish, except for those tax returns. We do need copies of those. We're dedicated to preserving all of the entrepreneurial spirit of a mortgage bank while we ensure the necessary operational controls to originate and service quality loans, and we have a company created for longevity.
How long has Caliber Home Loans been around, and what's the depth of the experience of the people with the company?
We have been around since 2008. After the implosion of a lot of mortgage companies and banks, you would probably think everybody would run for the hills, but we are backed by a $58 billion company, Lone Star Funds, based out of Dallas, Texas. So we wanted to get in the business. We are in the business of just mortgage loans. We don't want your checking account or your finances. We want to make sure you have some, but we also we just have been growing. We're in growth mode. The Atlanta branch has been here since March of 2013, so relatively new in the area, and we service the entire state of Georgia.
Angeline, talk a little bit about the process that someone would go through, because you mentioned in the opening talking about new technology, and you also mentioned eco-friendly and paperless for the most part. That's not known in the industry. That's kind of a new thing. So talk about the process that a consumer would go through when they start the process with you.
We are as technology savvy as the consumer is. So you can still do a paper, what we call the application, the 1003. But for those of us, and obviously all the people on the internet and the young folks out there, they want to do everything online, myself included. So we have a website with a secure application. You click the application and you can do everything throughout the process. You can upload your documents securely. Everything is password protected. So we really are a paperless company. We can e-signature everything too.
And I would assume with that, they're not left alone. There's obviously help if they need to call in and say, wait a minute, hold on, I got a question on this or that, or I'm having trouble signing the. There's still help.
Absolutely. We have tech support on there. You're dealing with probably one of the loan officers in our branch. Back to Mike's question, we don't have less than 100 years experience just in our branch. So you can imagine just being in Atlanta with all of the knowledge and experience that we've got just in our little 10-person branch in Atlanta, the company as a whole, I don't even want to tell you how many years experience we have. But
is there a brick-and-mortar building? I mean, people want to come and actually see you and do things. I mean, they can do that's obviously an option as well.
Absolutely. We are right off of Claremont and 85. The building that we occupy, I chose it for a reason. There is also a real estate firm in there. There's a closing attorney. There's an insurance company. We are a one-stop shop.
Literally under one roof.
That's right.
Tell us about if I'm a buyer and I'm looking at buying a home, take me through the steps. What's one of maybe the first things a buyer should do when I'm looking for the house and, of course, obviously looking for the right loan?
In this environment that we're in, most real estate agents, and I would absolutely suggest that you use a real estate agent. They're the experts in helping you determine property, what's great about it, the neighborhoods, the school districts, all of that information. A lot of people think, oh, I need to go find a house before I find a mortgage. Absolutely the opposite is true. You have to, if you find that perfect house, if you don't have a pre-approval letter, you're not going to get that house. They're going to go with someone that's already been approved for a mortgage, unless you're paying cash. And I wouldn't suggest that either because rates are so low. You really want to do the loan process first. And one of the things that Caliber does that not a lot of companies do is we will approve a borrower, a fully approved borrower. That means an underwriter's looked at your information. We've checked your tax returns, your employment, everything that you need to have done without even having a property. It's called a to-be-determined property. So really the only thing left in the mortgage process at that point is the appraisal and the property. So if everybody gives a thumbs up on the appraisal, you're good to go.
I want to follow up on something you just said, that if you have cash, you actually recommend not paying cash and just paying off the house. Talk about the reasons why, the benefits of actually paying off a mortgage.
Yeah, you could probably answer that question better than me, right?
Well, because you said it, rates are so low. And if you have the cash, go invest it. And
that's right.
Those investments can help pay the house note, make your payment. Because corporations would say if you can get 4% or less, it's basically free money, right? So rates are so low.
That's right.
It's a
tax advantage. If you're self-employed, you need all the tax breaks that you can get. So
absolutely.
If you can get a mortgage, get one.
And Angeline, I wanted to ask you a little bit. You one other thing you said in your very first comment that I've heard before and intrigues me is the idea that you guys are really looking to build long-term relationships. Can you unpack a little bit more about how you're going to hold on to the loan? And also, I think sometimes when people will hear that, they think, oh, well, does that mean all the loans are generated inside your company? So you're also not a mortgage broker who's just going to find the right deal. You're trying to keep everything in-house because you're looking for the right clients and you know they're going to have the right company. Is that a good way to put it?
In a nutshell, yes.
Okay.
A lot of the difference, there's so many differences in what people do out there when it comes to mortgages. I was in wholesale for a long time, meaning if you're going to go shopping and you want to go to Neiman Marcus, they had to buy their clothes from somewhere and they had to buy their clothes from somewhere. So you're third person down the line. We are, we do have a wholesale company and we have a retail division. Our loans are being sold directly to Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie. And we use Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie underwriting guidelines. There's no overlays. So if you are an investor and you want to buy a lot of investment properties, a lot of brokers and correspondent lenders that sell their loans to another bank that services your loan, you can do that. You're not limited to an amount of properties that you would be if you were dealing with a broker or a correspondent lender.
We're talking with Angeline Kelly with Caliber Home Loans. Let's give you an opportunity to talk more about some of the products that you do offer as far as loans. For example, are there no down payment 100% financing loans available?
Yes, there are. Few and far between these days, of course. A lot of the 100% loans have gone by the wayside, especially with home values being as low as they have been lately. But we do have 100% financing loans for our veterans. We love our veterans. It's 100% loan. There's no mortgage insurance on it. It's easier to qualify for it if you are a veteran. That's really the only 100% loan that's out there. There's no more 80-20s. There's no 100% investment loans with interest-only payments. That's just not, it's not out there. Maybe it'll come back. There could be some private hedge funds that'll bring it back. But as of today, the only 100% loan out there is for our veterans.
And you mentioned earlier, Angeline, the rates are low right now. I know you don't have a crystal ball, at least not here in the studio. But do you see rates rising? Do you see them staying where they are? Do you see them possibly even going further down?
my crystal ball is just doing my research, but all factors indicate that rates will go up. Now, will they be like they were in the early 2000s? Probably not for a while, but I do see them going up to the mid-fives in 2014. They've already gone up to the 4.5 range.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, obviously you're in the home loan industry. Anyone that's refinanced, haven't they pretty much already done that already? Are there still people out there that have not refinanced yet?
Some of them had to wait. Some of them have had some difficulty in the past with losing their home for whatever reason, and they didn't qualify to refinance. A lot of them held on to their homes because they couldn't sell them, and they can't refinance because they didn't have what we call a HARP-eligible loan, where you could refinance if your house was underwater. There's a lot of programs that are out there now that that are available since home values have come up. You might not be as underwater as you were before. If you don't think that you can refinance, I would suggest picking up the phone and calling a knowledgeable, licensed person to give you that information and to do the background. Don't listen to your neighbor. Don't listen to the guy in the grocery store. I got 2%. Well, that would be like me saying I can pay $100 on my insurance a month, but you've had 4 car wrecks, so your insurance isn't going to be $100. It's probably going to be $300. That's basically how a mortgage is. It's an individual snapshot of you specifically. So just because your neighbor got 3.5% 2 years ago doesn't mean you're going to get that today.
Angeline, let me ask you a question that will allow you to add value to new potential clients, but also save you a little time in the future. If I'm a potential client and I'm about ready to follow your advice of find the mortgage first, or I'm looking to refinance, before I call you, what do I need to gather together? What is the standard that you're going to need to do that background check and find out individually who I am and what my fingerprint is in the mortgage industry?
The first thing that you need to know, and I'm very surprised to hear some people that say they have no idea what their credit score is. Credit scores are extremely important. It doesn't determine who you are, but it determines to us your ability to repay. So if you don't have an idea of what your credit is, or you think you might have bad credit, or you had a medical collection, or you had something in your past that you're not quite sure, call us. It's a very low expense that we incur, and it's a huge help to help you purchase a home. Even if you don't have a clue of what's going on with your credit, we can tell you. And if you're pulling your credit online, it's not the same as if a mortgage company pulls your credit. They won't give you the right credit score. I didn't even know that the car credit is different than a mortgage credit. The scores are completely, they're drawn up differently. They're looked at differently. So absolutely get your credit in line. The second thing is to get your finances in line. We do a lot of self-employed borrowers. I do a lot of loans in Gwinnett County. Finances are important. Yes, you can do a loan with 3% down, what's called a home path loan. Your primary residence, it has to be a Fannie Mae-owned property. But you can get into a house with as little as 3% down on the home path, 3.5% down with FHA, the Federal Housing Administration loan product. And with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the minimum down payment is 5%, and you will have mortgage insurance on that as well. So getting your finances in order, your down payment ready, unless you've been saving your entire life to buy a house, you're probably not going to pay cash for it. So the down payment is extremely important. Do your due diligence on where you want to be. Do you have kids? Is the school district important to you? All of those factors fall into place. Where you want to be. My dad always told me when I was growing up, the best place, the best house to buy. Three reasons. Location, location, location.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So he's the one who came up with that.
Yeah, my awesome dad.
Should have trademarked that. He'd be a millionaire now. Are there loan you mentioned credit. Are there loan programs out there available for people that have had credit problems?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we do. We are not a credit repair company. We don't want to get into that. But we can guide you if you've had some hiccups, I like to call them, in the past. We can guide you, whether it be 3 months down the road or 3 years down the road, what you need to do to get your credit back up to par. We have a score system. It's called a what-if simulator. So you can plug in if you pay this off, if you pay this down. A lot of times people think, oh, I'll just pay all my debt off and that'll work. Well, that doesn't work, because if you don't have any debt, it's almost worse than having bad debt. And when you pay off a bad debt or a collection, your credit score will go down, because it readjusts itself. So the best thing to do is call someone who knows what to say and how to make it work.
We're talking with Angeline Kelly with Caliber Home Loans. What are you seeing as far as some of the main obstacles that are stopping people or preventing people from getting approved to purchase a home?
There's no real way to say that one person can get approved and the next person can't get approved. It's really income. It's what you've had going on in the past. There's so many situations out there. I'm trying to think of a really good one. Someone had a spouse pass away, and that spouse didn't have a will. So the property went to the spouse. He thought he didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't on the loan. They wouldn't talk to him. He was responsible for that loan. He didn't qualify because you have to qualify for both. So just little things like that. Again, the best thing to do is talk to somebody that knows what they're doing.
Angeline, for those that have been listening that want to reach out and find out more about Caliber Home Loans, where can they go to get more information?
Well, they can visit us on our website. It's www.caliberhomeloans.com. You can search on the United States. If you're not in the Georgia area, we'd still love to help you. We're a national company. We can do loans anywhere. Click on the state. Find us in Georgia if you'd like for us to help you as well. We do a lot of relocation too. So even if you're in Idaho and you're moving to Georgia, or you're in Idaho and you're moving to Texas, we can still help you. We're licensed in 48 states. We just got licensed in New York, so that's our latest endeavor. So you can stop by the office. As I mentioned before, we're right there on Claremont Road, 3006 Claremont Road. We're on the whole left side of the building. It's a beautiful building. Come see us. We'll give you a cup of coffee and talk to you. Everything that we give you, our advice, is always free. So there's no application fees. You shouldn't really ever pay an application fee. So,
right there. So for all our listeners that are out of state listening online, you can still work with Angeline with Caliber Home Loans. Thanks so much for your time. Good stuff. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. Angeline Kelly with Caliber Home Loans here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Our next guest this morning from the network, it is Jimmy Lynn. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Jimmy, tell us all about the network and what you do there.
Sure. The network is actually what I'd sort of like to call a 30-year-old startup. We've been around since 1982. We actually started off with the first whistleblower hotline provider out in sort of providing businesses with a way to report anonymously, you know, stuff that was going on maybe in a retail store. You know, somebody might be suspecting that there's employee theft or theft of goods, things like that, you know, so that someone can actually know about, you know, things that are going on without necessarily either going to the police or going to your managers. But since then, the market has, you know, severely evolved. It's, you know, sort of very closely tied to what Angeline talked about earlier, that there's been a lot more pressure around, you know, financial services companies, around different industries for, you know, regulatory compliance. And so that really has pushed us into the last few years of providing much more technology as well as service solutions around helping companies address their ethics and compliance issues so that they can better, you know, mitigate that risk and identify that risk when it does come up.
I always like to joke with our guests that Stephen is the Georgia Tech guy here. I'm just the Georgia guy. So in very simple, as Angeline gives the thumbs down, by the way, well done. Well done, my friend.
I kept my mouth shut.
Say that again?
I did keep my mouth shut.
Yes, just the thumbs down. So I always like to joke, you know, in a nutshell, can you explain, you know, in layman's terms, what does the network do to a guy like me that does not understand technology?
Sure.
I'm lucky that I'm on the internet right now, and I don't even know what I'm doing.
Well, there's really sort of two aspects to it. You know, even though our clients are mainly, you know, business clients, right? We don't serve individuals per se, but we serve, you know, different organizations.
Business to business.
Business to business, right? But really, you know, there's really two goals to that. One is to help the employees of those businesses be able to report issues, right? To make sure that there is an anonymous channel for those guys to, you know, sort of when there are things that come up, there's a place that they can go that they know is sort of safe and anonymous. The other side is to help the business, you know, develop that ethical culture, help the business identify the issues that are going on that they may not know about, that nobody knows about. And so, you know, really in serving those two customers, you have to make sure that you're not only providing, you know, sort of technology and solutions to, you know, provide the front end aspect of allowing those employees to reach out to you, but also allowing the business to better manage the types of issues and incidents that are coming through.
And I understand you guys do a very good job at what you do. You've won several awards. Tell us about some of those.
Sure. 2013 has been definitely an interesting and growing year for us. In this year, we've been recognized by one of our industry leaders in terms of research leaders for sort of our solution set that's out there. They sort of coined us the Apple of GRC, and we were very proud to sort of have been associated with that.
Are you the Bill Gates of GRC?
That would be Steve Jobs.
Oh, I messed that up. Rewind. Are you the Steve Gates?
Steve.
No, are you the Steve Jobs?
Jimmy, just keep talking.
We'll just keep going. But yes, we are trying to be that, mainly because we are trying to serve the employees. And these are, as you said earlier, these are complicated issues that shouldn't be complicated for employees, for the everyday employee. So that was, we're very proud of that award. On top of that, locally here in Georgia, as part of the Technology Association of Georgia, TAG, we were also recognized as a top 40 innovative company, therefore also recognizing sort of the roads we're paving in this market as well to make sure that there are sort of new solutions coming out to address these issues.
I'm thinking, Steve, now it was not a good idea for me to bring up my University of Georgia education earlier.
I'm just going to sit and enjoy the spiraling of that. Jimmy, question for you. Let's say I'm a business owner, or let me phrase it this way. When you go into a business, what are the danger signs you're looking for that, oh, man, this business has not really set up a culture? What are some things that business owners need to probably look at to look at their own business and say, do I really need the help of this? Is it a certain size? Is it that they don't have any channels, or the channels are come into my office, anyone can come talk to me, and not realizing that people don't want to approach like that? What are you looking for danger signs?
Yeah, really, it is sort of the mindset that they have. A lot of the ones that are probably with the biggest risk are the ones that think that they have no risk at all, are probably the ones that say, oh, no, we're fine. We're a small business. We're a medium-sized business. We're a large corporation that's been around forever and ever. We have a great culture. We have great people. We hired them well. We screened them well. We know everybody here is on the up and up. And that's usually the biggest mistake, is assuming that you know everything that's going on and assuming that everything is okay.
And I think also along with that, and this might sound like a crazy question, so Mike, I might be matching your Steve Gates comment there. I want to try and ask this question. I was going to ask kind of who's your competition, but I'm wondering also, are there software that people are using already that go, oh, that handles what we need. We don't really need to work with your network. It's kind of included in some software that really isn't doing the job. Is that your competition, or are there other companies that specifically work just in an anonymous channel and kind of a hotline updated technology, or are you guys kind of one of the only ones offering the service?
Well, there's certainly a little bit of both. There's certainly, this growing market that we're in, around governance, risk, and compliance, that is, sort of a very hot topic these last couple of years. It's a fast-growing market, so there's definitely sort of what I'd say, solution providers that are more focused on this, like ourselves. But I think, one of the greatest dangers is the fact that a lot of people, going back to Microsoft reference, is that they look at things like Microsoft Office as a way to address these issues. So they track things in a spreadsheet somewhere. They send out, documents in a Word file. And they assume that, they're doing enough and that this is, going to help them, either stay out of hot water or get out of hot water. And I think that's really where they're seeing the mistakes, is that, you might be able to support, what you think is the right thing, but then when something does go wrong, you realize that what you've done is not enough.
Sad thing is, I was trying not to make a Microsoft reference. But anyway, we're talking with Jimmy Lin, the VP of Product Management and Corporate Development with The Network, which is based right here in Gwinnett County, based in Norcross. You talked about the whistleblower hotline when you first started talking, Jimmy, and obviously compliance and ethics are a big part of all businesses. What are some of the biggest challenges that companies face when it comes to compliance and ethics?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, this is one area that you don't really get to have hard measurements around, right? So, you know, when you think about metrics and trying to identify how well you're doing in something, you know, the typical question is, you know, hey, how ethical is your culture? There is no good answer to that. There is no, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, we're a 9.2. What does that mean? You know, there is no number to identify. So I think the biggest challenge is really understanding how well you're doing in terms of building that ethical culture, how well your, you know, sort of compliance initiatives are working, and how much risk have you sort of left out there. Without knowing, you know, exactly the quantitative aspect of those, you know, those pieces, you don't really have a good idea as to whether you're doing enough, whether you need to do more, or whether you can sort of back down a little bit. So I think the hardest part really is taking those measurements and trying to figure out, you know, when I say, you know, hey, we've had a lot of, you know, incidents of fraud, you know, being reported by our employees. Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, every year we track, you know, sort of the percentage of fraud reports within, you know, some of the channels that we get. And, you know, oftentimes the numbers, you know, go up, especially when the economy was down, right? The numbers for fraud reporting were actually going up. And so a lot of questions, you know, for us came around of, you know, hey, does that mean fraud is actually increasing? Well, it doesn't actually mean that. You know, just because you have a number going up, it might mean that people are more aware of fraud and they understand what it is. And in a down economy, they're more protective of their own organization, so they're more apt to report it. So you hear more about it. Doesn't mean that it's happening more or less often. Or it could also mean that, you know, hey, your employees are actually just now more aware. You've educated them on what it looks like. They know what to look for. And so they know when to call things out. So these are the, you know, there's never a good answer to that question, and therefore it is a big challenge for every single organization.
Those are some great points. Can you give us an example of maybe some a client or some clients that you work with and how you're helping them with their ethics and compliance?
Yeah, so we, you know, we have several thousand clients around the world. We work with half the Fortune 500, and so really we span, you know, every single industry out there. We work with some of the major companies here based in Atlanta, whether it's, you know, retailers, transportation companies, manufacturers. So we really cut across all types of different industries and all sizes of different businesses. And having said that, you know, one of the challenges is that across all of these, they all have a very similar challenge around ethics and compliance, around keeping their compliance initiatives top of mind, whether it's a small company or whether it's, you know, the largest company in the world. They all face the exact same issues. It's just a different scale at which they have to address the problem.
Jimmy, let me encourage you to unpack that a little bit more, because if I'm a small business owner, you know, 25 employees or less, something around there, and I listen to the fact that, first of all, the credentials fantastic, the awards fantastic, and then I go, yeah, but he's working with some of the largest companies. What has he got for me? I would imagine that's where the technology is scalable. How does that work? You know, how do you tailor for smaller business, medium size? You know, how do you tailor your solutions?
Yeah, so, you know, sort of on that scale, there's both a technology scaling as well as a sort of what I would call a packaging scaling. There's, you know, for a lot of small businesses, we have a lot of, you know, either sort of what I would call starter templates and best practice packages and things like that we can help you really, you know, get off the ground from a, you know, hey, we don't really have any compliance program processes, to, you know, hey, we at least want to get the basics down, right? You don't have to be sort of on the bleeding edge, but you need to have something in place. So there are those types of things, as well as, you know, the fact that we borrow from, you know, knowing where you need to go next in your growth stage, because we work with companies along the entire scale, we know what happens next. So if you continue to grow your company, what do you need to do next, you know, in order to prepare for that next level of growth? And so we can help, you know, take all that experience from those different clients and bring it back in to help, you know, the guys that are smaller or just starting off.
Jimmy Lin is our guest. He's with the network, which is based right here in Norcross. And you mentioned that the thousands of clients that you have, and obviously what you do is very important. How do you find new clients? How are you growing the business?
Well,
it seems like everybody can use your services, absolutely.
Exactly. And that's really the point, is that, you know, just about every single company out there has some level of need for an ethics and compliance program. You know, ones in more highly regulated industries definitely have much more need around that, whether it's, you know, things like pharmaceuticals or financial services. Other industries are actually, you know, sort of being pressured now like they weren't before. And that's actually part of, you know, our growth, as well as just the expansion of this ethics and compliance market, is the fact that in the long past, you know, retailers or hospitality companies may not have had as much regulatory pressure on them compared to someone in, you know, a banking industry or in pharmaceuticals. But today, you know, with the regulatory landscape changes, they're all coming up and they're all coming into play in terms of regulatory pressure. So those are the types of things that, you know, we see as potential expansion spots for, you know, not only our business, but just the market in general in terms of the need of the market.
What are the plans for 2014 for the network?
Well, we've had a banner year in 2013. It's been the best year ever at the network, and we expect 2014 to probably be the best year ever after that. We've got a lot of growth in play. We've got a lot of great sort of innovative solutions that we are currently bringing to the market for next year. And so we are ready to continue to lead this governance, risk, and compliance market into the next stage.
Business Radio X obviously appeals to the business owners and business leaders out there. Those are the people that listen to our programs. For those of you, for those out there that are listening and want to find out more about the network, where can they go to get that information?
Sure. Probably the easiest spot is to hit our website at tnwinc.com. And you can find out about our broad range of governance, risk, and compliance solutions there, about how we can help you out, whether you're, you know, a small business or large or whatever industry you might be in.
Jimmy Lind, Vice President of Product Management and Corporate Development with the network. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, I could talk forever. I think we'll have to have you come back for another show. Keep going. Thank you so much to Jimmy. Also to Angeline Kelly with Caliber Home Loans as well. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on all of the Gwinnett or all of the Business Radio X stations, and that you can listen to any of our programs, including this one, 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. For Stephen Julian, I'm Mike Salmon, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.